Welcome to the podcast series Talking Success, connecting the global fintech community. I'm Stacey Jafta, and today I'll be chatting with Ike Anderson, Senior VP of GTP. Ike, how are you doing?
I'm great, Stacey. It's nice to be on your program.
Welcome, welcome. We have been talking about this for like close to a year and a half, and we're finally doing it.
Yeah, I think COVID had took its toll on us. We had a call sometime last year, and then but thank God we're here now. That's the most important thing.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on and hear more about your story. You're always on my LinkedIn page, and it's so nice seeing what you're up to and your views on everything. So I'm excited to dive deeper into just your opinions, the things you've learned. Can you give the audience some background and how you became Senior VP of GTP?
Okay, well, I need to go back to when I started my career. So when I initially actually wanted to be in advertising, I fancied myself an advertising guru or something. So I got an offer there. And then not long afterwards, I got a bank offer almost around the same time. So advertising was paying, let's say, $1 an hour, and banking was paying about $5 an hour.
So big difference.
So I jumped into the banking. And so, you know, that's how I got into banking. The truth is, I didn't really enjoy it much because I started as a teller. You know, it wasn't interesting. That's the truth. But, you know, I persevered. And then I got a call from the head of corporate affairs of the bank. And he just said, look, we're looking for someone to come and join. I said, yes. I didn't even hear what it was. I just said, yes.
Whatever you want, yes.
Yeah. I just want to get out of the cage. Because then when you're a teller, we used to call it a cage. It was like you're in prison or something.
Very animalistic.
Exactly. So I jumped at the opportunity. So what is corporate affairs? What it does is expose me to a lot of the management staff because I did a lot of protocol for them and stuff like that. And that's where, you know, like a year later, the MD of the bank, you know, just called me into his office. He was an Englishman and said, there's this new thing starting called Smart Card. I said, yeah. What's it about? He says, it's just about electronic payments. Are you interested? I said, yes. I just said, yes. I didn't know what it was and have a clue. So I was one of the pioneer members of, you know, Smart Card Unit. And that really started my, you know, career in payments, you know, electronic banking, digital payments, etc. And since then, all the banks I've worked in has basically been, you know, in that field, either cards or e-products, you know, along that area. So from bank to bank, I've done basically that. And then I was in a bank where GTP was selling a product, their product to them. So today, GTP is a third-party prepaid processor. They focus in, you know, providing prepaid solutions and platforms for banks, program managers who want to issue prepaid cards. So they were talking to the bank that I was working in. And so I was on the desk, you know, cards desk at the time. So I got to meet them. We implemented a solution. And that's how, you know, we met. And it was a good relationship. You know, they're nice people. And, you know, we got on well. And sometime later, you know, they called me up and said, hey, Ike, we're looking for, you know, someone on the ground, you know, in Nigeria to sort of handle our English speaking, you know, relationships. I said, yes, again. and then I joined GTP. So now I'm, you know, senior VP, account management. I mean, I didn't start that way. I started basically just, you know, like a regional director, you know, customer service stroke, you know, operations, just basically a face, you know, to the company on the ground, because the company is based out of Tulsa, Oklahoma in the United States. Mm. But you know, in Africa, people love to see you. They love to see someone to talk to. So it's been a progression, you know. I mean, I think I'm 8 years now in the company. So
wow, congratulations.
Know, now, yeah, thanks. So yeah, I think about late last year, I was promoted to, you know, head of account management, senior VP. So, you know, that's the story.
Nice. On this podcast, we've had multiple episodes on how to sell, but what I feel is even more important and something that's really dear to my heart is keeping your clients happy versus bringing on new clients. You focus on account management. What do you believe makes a good account manager?
Well, so if you break that word down, it's account and then management. Mm-hmm. So First of all, we have accounts. And then how do we manage the account? I mean, there are many definitions of management, but I think basically it's using resources to get to a specific goal, a predetermined goal that you're trying to achieve. So using all the resources you have to achieve, you know, specific goals. So an account management, it's similar to that. So what does the account mean to you as the organization? What are the aspirations of the account for themselves? So what does a company want to achieve with the product? So my job is essentially to assist them to do that while also meeting our own internal needs. So it's two ways. There's an internal, you know, requirement or need that we want to meet, and then there's the external one. So the great account management is when both converge. So they're happy, we're happy. So that's the foundation of it. So understanding the goals, like I said, is critical. And you know, how do I help, you know, the client to meet their goals? One of the things that you learn is how important is this product to the client. So for example, a bank has so many different products that they're doing. They have savings account, you know, different products.
Yeah.
So now we specialize in prepaid. We don't do acquiring, debit, credit. Now, if their prepaid portfolio is really important to them, then they will focus a lot of resources there. So you can assist them to improve and to meet their targets. But you do meet some banks who prepaid isn't as important. It's just, we just want to have the product for the sake of having the product. So for us also, you know, we also, because resources are limited, you look at, you know, which accounts you want to, you know, devote the time, necessary time and energy to assist them to improve. You know, so it's about weighing all of that. You know, do they actually value this product? Are they willing to grow? And I think one of the most rewarding things is when you see a client and, you know, they started maybe on, you know, level one, and then after some time, they've improved in terms of all the metrics that we're looking for, and you've assisted them in that, and they now value that, your contribution, you know, to their success. That's really quite rewarding.
Yeah. When I think of a good account manager, I actually think of our director of accounts here, Talent in the Cloud. Meg is absolutely incredible. Like, she can tell you when each of our clients' children's dogs' birthdays are. Like, she's just like brilliant because she genuinely cares about each individual. Are there any attributes or skill sets that you think make a good account manager? Of course, we have communication, we have personability. Is there anything else that you can think of?
Well, so, you know, relationship management and account management kind of seems similar, you know. So today, you know, the account is really the key, but of course, people are behind the account. So first of all, I think you need to be knowledgeable about the product or the service that you're providing, because if you're not knowledgeable, you're not adding value to the account. So you may be the nicest person, you may, you know, send them birthday cards and know all the names of their, but if you're not actually adding value to their business, then, you know, I think so for me, that's the first thing. Then definitely you also want to get to know them, obviously, understand what their, I keep on talking about their goals, you know, because if I know what you want to achieve, you know, I can help you to get there. So typically, you know, we engage our guys as, so what do you want to do this year? You know, what are your plans for this product? Oh, we want to do this, we want to do that. So that it's at that point that you can actually really go in and provide the necessary, you know, expertise that they need. So really it's about adding value, being accessible. One of the things that is key to this job is accessibility. So we run a business where the system has to be up 24/7. Okay. Now, there's some people who work in the organization who have a 9-to-5 job.
But yeah.
In account management, your job isn't 9-to-5. I mean, wow. Virtually all the guys have my, you know, WhatsApp number,
yeah,
Skype,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so being available is also very key, you know.
As you mentioned, it's not just about keeping a client satisfied, but also just improving their performance if that's a goal of theirs. How do you manage this and how do you do that for a client? Just increasing them and improving their performance as a business.
So it's about, first of all, letting them see where they are as a business. You'd be surprised how some clients don't even have a clue, you know, what, how the business is doing. They just, we're doing cards and, oh, not a problem. So we, first of all, provide them with the information. This is, we take a picture. This is what you look like as a business. And so where do you want to improve? Is it the eyelashes? Is it the mouth? Is it, you know, which aspect?
Lipstick,
exactly. So once we've defined where they want to improve, then we tell them, oh, you know, there are different shades of lipstick that will really enhance your face. And, you know, we provide that to them and we set metrics. So is it, we have quarterly reviews that we try to do with our major clients to say, you know, this quarter is done. Yes, you know, your cards, you know, increased, revenue increased, or actually it didn't. Why didn't it increase? You know, we engage them in when you're doing promotions, you know, and you look at, did the promotion succeed? Because we wanted to increase our card sales by, you know, 5%, 10%. At the end of the quarter, we look at the numbers and we see actually it didn't work, or yes, it did work. And one of the things that we do is we try and replicate success. So because what we do is we work across the continent. You know, we're in about 30 different countries. So for the most part, we know what works, you know, for a prepaid program, you know, what kind of things you need to have in place. So once it's worked in one place, it's easy for us to just say, hey, look, I mean, all things being equal, if you cut and paste, you know, these things into your own program, you should be able to succeed. Mm. And I think that's one of the keys that helps, you know, to help people to perform.
What have you found to be the most challenging part of account management for you specifically?
I think initially we had issues around data in terms of getting data in the right format that could be presented to the clients. So, I mean,
can you elaborate on that?
So having worked in the bank, you know, I wanted to see, basically when I was in the bank, I used to create my own database from raw data that we used to get from the processors, because my supervisors wanted to see certain things to be able to see, you know, determine whether we're, you know, actually doing well or not. So data was all over the place. I mean, we had a lot of data, but it wasn't in the format that was consumable. You know, bankers don't have time. They want you to be able to present something that they can easily see, high level, you know, digestible. So that was a challenge, you know. So what I did was sort of try to develop something. We were working on it, but in the interim, we had to give them something. So I developed something that you could at least present to them. The key there is, you know, don't let perfect get in the way of, you know, at least good enough. You know, sometimes some people say, well, you know, the organization doesn't have something yet, you know, so we can't give you anything until we're ready. I don't think that's really good enough. You can give them something because, you know, where I'm from, we say half bread is better than none, you know, so that's a very African saying. But so I did that, you know, and then the next thing is communication. So we have, you know, our clients across Africa. We have English speaking, French speaking. In fact, we have more French speaking, you know, clients than English speaking.
Yeah.
But the company itself is an American company, you know, head office is in Tulsa. So sometimes communication, you know, there's a gap there in terms of understanding the client's needs. You know, here, depending on, even Africa is very different. You know, I'm from Nigeria and we're very, very aggressive. You know, if you go to East Africa, you know, Zambia, Malawi, they're a little bit more chilled, you know. So it's understanding the nuances of each region and being able to transfer or communicate that to our head office so that, you know, when there's a request, it's understood and it's treated, you know, appropriately. So I think those were the two, you know, challenges, which, you know, thankfully we overcome now. We have people who, French speakers, you know, on our team that handle the French side. So there's always a way to get things done.
Is there a time where you messed up at work? And this doesn't have to be just about account management. This can be throughout your career. I think this is one, a brilliant question to ask in interviews when interviewing candidates, just to hear what they have to say and then how they overcame that situation.
I'm glad you asked this because, you know, when I was early on in my career, there was a colleague from another bank who worked in a really good bank. You know, it's one of those banks that, oh, you really wanted to work in. So he got me an interview with his group head. So, you know, I was ready. I went into the interview. Well, I thought I was ready anyway. So I went to have a chat with him. So he asked me, what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm on a desk where we handle letters of credit. You know, it's trade, finance and stuff. So he started asking me question after question after question. And I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I mean, literally, it was awful. It was one of the worst interviews I'd ever been to. And at the end, he said, Ike, look, you're not on that desk. Maybe you're just basically saying I was lying because, I mean, I performed so poorly. So I left, you know, with my tail between my legs and just went back. But then I sat down and I said, so what happened? What happened was when I was transferred to that desk, my supervisor is actually the one, you know, he would just tell me, take this file, put this document in there, take it to this department, do this, do that. So I was a robot. I wasn't trained. I didn't really understand what I was doing, you know. But then I realized, so initially I wanted to blame him that, oh, he didn't train me well. But then actually it's my fault. You may be in a position or a role where you're given adequate training. They tell you everything, not just how to do the job, but why you're doing the job, which is perhaps even more important than how to do the job. So then I realized that it's my responsibility to know the job I'm doing. Mm-hmm. You know, so yes, if you're working in a place where they give you all the training, great. But if you're not, you need to learn on the job. You need to, if you need to take courses. I mean, today, you don't have an excuse. You have Google, YouTube, you can basically find out. So I learned that very early that, you know, you need to know your onions, you know, because...
Your onions?
When you walk into a doctor's office, the assumption is he knows what he's doing, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, so when someone walks into your office, if you're a banker, if you're in GTP and they call you about a product or whatever, they're calling you because they assume you know what you're doing. They assume you know the job. And at the end of the day, you're actually working for yourself. It's the knowledge that you have that somebody else values.
It baffles me that people aren't more curious. My parents always talk about this when I was really, really young. Like I was infamous for just saying why, like as a little kid, like, do not touch this. I was like, why? You're not allowed to go there. Why? Like,
why?
And was really annoying for my parents, but they always took the time to like explain, you don't touch this because it will burn you and you will hurt. Where most parents are just like, do not touch it because I say so. And this has just, I think, been part of who I am. And as I grow up, I'm just very, very curious. And my CEO knows this. I'll be like, he's like, okay, so you're billing with this entity. And I'm like, explain to me why we have different entities. Explain to me the legal elements of this. This has absolutely nothing to do with my job, but like, I don't want to just send this document to a client. I want to know, okay, why am I sending it? Why is this section relevant to him? And that's just because like as a person, like I enjoy just understanding the 360 of the product and of the service. And I just don't understand how people don't feel that way. It's just so confusing to me.
But let me tell you something. Naturally, I'm not the way you are.
Okay.
Naturally, I'm a very reserved, shy kind of person, but I want to do a good job. So if I understand doing a good job means, you know, getting out of my comfort zone to ask questions, you know, to dig deeper, then I'll do it. Because at the end of the day, what makes me feel good is that I've done a good job. I break out of that shell, you know, naturally I just keep quiet, sit in my corner. I don't want to disturb anyone. But when I realized I wasn't getting far that way, I had to break out of that shell. Yeah.
Yeah. And you came from a banking background, and within GTP, it's more of a flat org structure. Do you have a different approach now? Like, I'm assuming that when you were in the banking space, you were speaking about the way you were just given things was more robotic. Do you see that having a flat org structure has changed that, or is there anything else you see that's different?
Well, I mean, you're right. The banking is completely different from GTP. I mean, GTP, like you said, is flat. Everyone is accessible. There's no micromanagement. But one of the things that I benefited from in the banking environment was, you know, we worked quite hard, a lot of pressure situations.
Yeah.
And we worked long hours. So hard work wasn't a problem for me. And it became part of my nature, my work ethic. So sometimes when you work in an organization like GTP, even maybe perhaps where you work and some of these fintech companies, where there's, I wouldn't say there's less stress. If you don't have an intrinsic work culture, you can, you know, become a bit relaxed. You know, you can become a bit, because no one's looking over your shoulder to say, do this. There's no micromanagement. You're just basically told, you know, this is what we need to do and to get it done. So you can slack off if that's kind of like, you know, because, hey, I work from home most of the time. I mean, I've worked, you know, remotely since I joined GTP. So you have to be disciplined, you know. Yeah. So although it's a very, you know, flat structure, I mean, we have access to everyone. Everyone has access to everyone, you know, but they do watch to see that you're performing. And no one's going to, you know, beat you over the head to say, you haven't done this, you haven't done this. So because of that, it's evident. There are no layers to hide behind. You know, sometimes when you're in, you know, hierarchical organizations, you can hide behind your boss and he can hide behind this and he can hide behind. You know, so that's it. That's, I think, you know, it's nice and the culture is good because they actually treat you, you know, like a human being, not just a number. You know, so I think that's a major difference.
When it comes to hiring talent and finding talent that would fit well into this model, do you see a difference? The type of people that would fit better into a flat structure? And if so, like, how would you change the questions you'd ask in an interview for different organizational structures?
Actually, when I'm, you know, hiring or interviewing, you know, one of the things, especially if we tend to hire from banks. Because I mean, I came from a bank, and we tend to hire people who have possibly worked with us in the past, who were, you know, on the bank side, who were liaising with GTP, because it just makes it easier because you understand the system better, you understand a little bit about, you know, so the learning curve isn't as wide if, you know, we're to hire somebody completely fresh. But the thing I discuss most about them is just what I talked about, the work culture. You know, you have to be very disciplined when you cross over because, you know, like I said, mostly we work from home, you know, and there's no one who's going to be chasing you up. Yes, we do have, you know, weekly meetings and things like that, but you have to be a go-getter. You have to, you know, be sure about what your tasks are, what your deliverables are, and you have to deliver on them. So those are the things I'm looking at. I'm looking at people who are hungry, not people who are just like, oh, easy street now, you know, fold my feet up and, you know, it's not, you know, thank God I've escaped from the banking setup. So those are key things, good work ethic, ability or willingness to learn as well. And the desire to also help. Because what we do a lot is actually help, you know, we help people to improve their performance. We help people to, you know, even get promoted if you're doing well on that, you know, desk. The organization takes note of you and, you know, you get elevated where you are, and we say, oh, thank God, at least we were able to help you to do that.
And then the last question I have for you is something I've been seeing quite often is people being in positions for like 10 plus years doing the same thing, feeling trapped, but they have no idea how to change that environment, especially if this is all they know or the industry knows them as only doing this one thing. What would you suggest that they do?
It's a tricky question, Stacey, but I think I always respond to this with another question, which is, why do you feel trapped? You know, yeah. So doing the same job for 10 years in itself is not a reason to feel trapped if you're fulfilled in what you're doing. So, you know, that's the question you need to ask yourself and answer. So if it means I'm no longer feeling fulfilled because I know everything about this job, then you may not need to leave the organization. You may just need to leave the unit. Let me give you a very quick example. One of the banks I was in, you know, went under, had to look for another job. So I got a job, but they sent me to a branch as like a marketer or, you know, normal branch work, which I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I said, this isn't my skill set. I'm not being fully utilized here. So I wrote to the head of the ED in charge of digital banking. And a few days later, he responded and said, come to the head office and see me. So we had a chat, we had a talk, and he looked at my CV, and he said, yeah, I think you're right. There's an opening coming up in a couple of months' time. There's a guy who heads a unit. He's going to school in England. You know, would you like to come and take over? I said, yes. So sometimes it's just about asking. You know, if you feel you're getting burnt out on the job and you need a new challenge, you can ask, can you move me to accounts? Can you move me to, you know, business development? You know, so if you've asked and they've said no, then you can look at maybe going outside to see, you know, the opportunity. So the question is, you need to ask yourself, why do you feel trapped? Once you've been able to answer that, then the steps to take are pretty self-evident.
Perfect. Thanks. I actually had an episode with the CEO of Mia Wallet, Nuno, and he was an intern. He was at Opera for his entire career, went from an intern, was there for years and years. But he said he felt so fulfilled because he was just changing his positions, taking on new challenges. So for him, he's like, it felt like he was in different businesses the entire time. So I definitely don't think the solution is to change companies necessarily, but I think that many people are just feeling disheartened or not getting enough of a challenge each day when your day kind of feels repetitive, or the things or the parts of the job that was maybe more of a challenge is no longer because you're so skilled up. So I think that's great advice. Ike, thank you so, so much for being on the episode. I'm glad we finally did it.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been my pleasure.
Awesome. Where's the best place for listeners to reach you?
Well, I think I'm usually on LinkedIn. I have LinkedIn Ike S. Anderson. So you can always connect there, send me a connect request. I'll accept it. And then we can take it from there.
Fantastic. Thanks again.
Okay. Cheers. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Talking Success, Connecting the Global FinTech Community. Feel free to follow us on LinkedIn at Talent in the Cloud. And if you're interested in exec talent, expanding your team, or you yourself are looking for a new exciting change in your career, check out our website, talentinthecloud.io.